Let's think then, if we can for a moment, for the about unanswered prayer as we close. Psalm 13, verse 1, which Michael has already sung to us, read to us, got it imprinted on our memories, I hope, said this: how long will you forget me, O Lord? As Michael says, is it for a day? Is it for a week? Is it forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And the last statement in James chapter 2, James 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. I want to just read the passage that again Paul has identified, but I'm going to read it from Mark's Gospel if I may, because there is an additional word in Mark's Gospel which I would just like to pick up on. So Mark 14 verses 32 to 42 say this. Just remember that they had just shared communion together. They just shared a Passover meal together. And we're told that they finished the meal, that they sang a hymn, psalm probably, and they went out. And Mark says they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit down here until I have prayed. He took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, extremely anguished at the prospect of what was to come. He said to them, that's Peter, James and John, my soul is deeply grieved and overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. He went on a little bit further from them and he fell to the ground and began to pray. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup of judgment away from me. But not what I will, but what you will. We're told then he came back to the three disciples and he found that they were asleep. So he woke up Simon and said, Simon, you're sleeping. Can't you stay awake for an hour or so? And finally, after going away and praying, we're told he prayed the same words three times. He came back and said, okay, you've had enough sleep now. Let's get out of here. My betrayer is near. Do we feel then that Jesus himself actually experienced unanswered prayer? That's a tricky one, isn't it? John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21 tell us that Jesus prayed not just for his disciples that were actually there, not for the people around him and the church, but he prayed for a number of other people. The phrase used is for those who are still to come. He prayed for us, in essence. And the prayer starts with these phrases. It says, he prayed for the church to be united and that the world would believe that Jesus has been sent from God. Has this been fulfilled? Has this been answered yet? Or is it just a matter of time? Prayer is a most wonderful gift for us, yet it's also the most difficult at times. Particularly when we are faced or involved with difficult situations. Even as Christians, we will often question or ask the question, why? In our relationship with the Father, we need to be real about the situation. There may be tears, there may be anger, there may be frustration. But that's okay. Psalm 30 verse 5 reminds us that weeping may last for an evening or for the night, but in the morning comes joy. So in closing, I just want us to go back to those four phrases quickly that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane. Firstly, remember this, that Jesus made himself vulnerable before God and before his disciples. He took three of his disciples with him when he went to pray. We're told he was struck with terror, he was distressed, full of grief. And falling on his face, he poured out his true feelings for what was about to happen. Be vulnerable when you pray. Not just in front of God, but with your friends. Pray with them. Be honest. Secondly, Jesus prayed. Same prayer three times. We need to pray consistently. Matthew 7 verses 7 to 8 tell us quite simply, quite obviously. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Abba is a prefix that it was added to the word Father as a reminder to the person who had spoken and to the person who was hearing that they shared a special family relationship. It's too simplistic to actually say Abba means daddy. It's a lot more than that. It's a reminder, and it's a reminder to each side of the discussion. Jesus anchored his love in his Father and that close relationship. His promise that he will hold us, God will hold us and comfort us if we lean on his love. So let God wrap his arms around you, around me this morning. Then Jesus went on to say, everything is possible for you. And Jesus anchored himself in his Father's power. Everything is possible. His third phrase was this, take away this cup from me. Honesty before God. Honesty in front of his friends. And finally he says, not my will, but yours be done. This is surrender to God's will. Praying in line with God's revealed character and purpose. In other words, do not ask God for something that is opposed to who he is or what he has revealed in his word. How can God give you the things that actually are opposed to what he is and who he is? It's also said that in situations which are difficult and our prayers do not seem to be having any effect at all, we should simply ask God, God, show me where you are in this situation, rather than why am I in this situation. Too easy for us to keep asking, why am I here? What's all this about? God, show me where you are in this situation. Asking God to come close to us in that relationship is an invitation to him to lead us through. Even though I walk through the valley, you are with me. Psalm 23, verse 4. Can we know certainty in prayer? Yes, we can. When our relationship with the Father is strong and aligned to his revealed character and purpose.